Jess.
Greetings from BBS Radio, where truth and news still exist in the original form. You're tuned into The Spiritual Politician, the show that shows you where politics, government, and all that nasty selfishness went wrong, and how you can take action to make it right. I'm Melinda Pillsbury Foster, your host for this hour of personal revival, aimed at making each of us more responsible, more cooperative, and more aware of the spiritual bonds that bind us together, no matter what we find to fight about. Now, you can call us toll-free from the U.S. to 877-876-5227. You can call from Canada to 888-810-8322. Or you can call us direct to 530-876-3222. Now, this show is carried online and may also be able to get it on the air in your local area. To find out if one of those old-fashioned on-the-air stations in your area carries this show, just contact us at bbsradio.com. The website for the show can be found on the BBS Radio site and at spiritualpolitician.blogspot.com. All past shows become available as soon as is humanly, or in the case of Dawn, even extra-humanly possible, on the station archives. My blog site is titled How the Neocons Stole Freedom and is conveniently located at howtheneoconsstolefreedom.blogspot.com. The story this week at the top is titled Natural Solutions to Pest, Ants, Lice, and Bush. It is about our guest tonight, but there will be a sequel that, and that's going to be on the story of DDT and the deaths it has caused across the world and the fact that major corporations and government now want to see it inflicted on us again. And if you're not a member of the Club of 28,000 who are invested in the stolen wealth from the past generations, you already know that we are facing major problems. On the blog and in conjunction with a coalition around the country, we will be providing you here with solutions to the problems we all face. The first problems are your health, keeping your home, and getting off all the grids. This Sunday, I'll be co-hosting on FirstAmendmentRadio.com with Mel Gillespie, and we will be laying out some of the plans you need to know about to take back your county. The show runs from 6 to 8 Pacific time. Give it a listen online or on the air. And now, some nice news from the Ron Paul campaign. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that the grassroots campaign comprising the people from all over the country who the media has tried to dismiss as bots and online lurkers raised over $4 million on Guy Fawkes Day last Tuesday. Amazing what those bots can do. And now the RNC is scrambling to figure out how to exclude Ron Paul delegates from the Republican convention next September. Action is being taken, so be aware and get ready to pitch in, because every time they try one of these things, more and more people find out about Ron Paul and decide that's the candidate for them. And another money bomb, this one to coincide with the December 15th and 16th, those being Bill of Rights days and the anniversary of the Boston Tea Party, are now in the planning, with the numbers of participants swelling hourly. And in Miami, a rehearsal for martial law or just blatant stupidity and waste this past week. You are all probably remember the Vigilant Shield exercise that took place in Portland, Phoenix, Arizona, and Guam in October this year. Many fear that these exercises are actually intended as rehearsals for martial law, something that this White House has worked to make possible through their truncation of the Bill of Rights and the passage of a series of measures starting with the Patriot Act in 2001. Others view the exercises as cover for false flag operations intended to create cause for the institution of martial law or to justify further acts of aggression against countries that pose no threat against us, for instance, Iran. In either case, strange and inexplicable events taking place across the country should focus our attention on what may well be early moves in one of these or other potential directions by this administration. These stories were used to justify exercises that squandered millions of dollars. I'm going to read you a little excerpt from an article. Teacher shot outside Florida high school, Miami. A teacher was shot and critically injured Tuesday outside a high school during an apparent robbery, forcing lockdowns of several schools for more than 2 hours and leading to the arrest of a 19-year-old man. The teacher, identified by school officials as Sergio Miranda, was shot in the upper torso and was in critical condition at Jackson Memorial Hospital. Miami-Dade Police Detective Olvero Zabade said, Miranda was taking a cigarette break across the street from the school during lunch when he was confronted by a man who tried to rob him, said Quentin Taylor, a spokesman for the Miami-Dade County Public Schools. A group of SWAT officers in helmets and carrying rifles entered an apartment complex near the school after the shooting. Police sealed off all the complex's exits, and the police helicopter hovered overhead. Patrick Lively was arrested and charged with attempted armed robbery and attempted first-degree murder, police said in a statement. Bond has not been set, and it was not immediately known whether he had an attorney. Man who fatally shot Broward deputy caught in another story. Pompano Beach, a convicted robber involved in the fatal shooting of a 76-year-old Broward County sheriff's deputy, was caught Wednesday, hours after he escaped while being transported to court, officials said. Michael Mazza, 40, was arrested at a Hollywood pawn shop shortly after noon, about 4 hours after Deputy Paul Rain was slain. Broward County Sheriff Al Lambretti said Mazza was found with Rain's weapon. And if that were not enough for 1 week, another event, this time a letter with glitter or confetti enclosed, caused the closing of an area surrounding the office of Representative Ron Klein in Fort Lauderdale yesterday. Here's the report. Fort Lauderdale. A suspicious envelope sent to U.S. Representative Ron Klein's office Thursday forced a brief evacuation of the building, but nothing harmful was found and no injuries were reported, police said. The letter that arrived at the Fort Lauderdale office had a glittery substance inside, said city spokeswoman Shannon Vizina. One of Klein's staff members opened the envelope, according to a statement from Klein's office. Quote, our staff members are safe and no one has been harmed because of this incident, the statement said. Klein was not in the office at the time. Broward County's hazardous materials team was called to the scene, and the roads surrounding the office building were briefly closed, police said. An investigation was underway, police said. The envelope and substance were turned over to the FBI. The handwritten printed letter on notebook paper had an illegible name and fictitious return address and included religious slurs, a swastika, and complaints about high property taxes, said Felicia Goldstein. Klein's district director, a staffer opened the letter and called the U.S. Capitol Police, who told the staffer to call the Fort Lauderdale Police. And the letter was turned over to the FBI. If these stories do not strike you as strange, then consider this. In each case, the activity by SWAT teams, of which residents report there were many, along with Homeland Security, FBI, INS, and other units they could not identify, kept roadblocks up preventing access to large parts of the city for most of each day. In effect, this cost billions of dollars from the income of individuals and business. This at a time when America's economy, indeed the dollar, is tanking. In each case, the local police have traditionally handled this sort of thing. Why this kind of pile-on if the issue is just safety? The cost of this kind of mobilization is in the millions. Now, who do you think is going to pay for it? And the next day, yesterday, the series of roadblocks in activity that were reported had the same mix of military and police at the congressman's office. And this took place in, curiously enough, exactly the same area. Major arteries into Fort Lauderdale, Pompano Beach south, through Hollywood into North Miami were closed off with armed SWAT teams, guns in hands, making sure no one got through. Schools were locked down. Children were kept from contacting their parents. They caught the escaped murderer in that pawn shop. He's not a terrorist. He's a criminal, and we all know what those are. Here's the facts. The kids report that they were locked down all day from 9:30 a.m. until their seventh hour around 2. They were not permitted to eat because there was no time after the lockdown ended. Is this how children should be treated? Is this our idea of security? Whose idea was this? Was the originator of this protocol previously employed as a third-rate science fiction writer? A mother of 3 students in the area said, quote, "Parents cannot access their children. The children cannot be removed. Last September, authorities tasered a boy in the lunchroom because he was fighting with another student. Fighting's bad, but I remember when they just told kids to take it outside." That was really better. The mother, Paula Twitty, also reported that the trend for militarization of schools and police has been progressing rapidly in this direction since 2001. There was no report in the paper when that incident occurred. The real facts on how intrusive and extensive each event just previously mentioned really was were also not reported. Now, what we need to think about as Americans is this. None of these measures makes us any safer. They don't secure our borders. They cost huge amounts of money we cannot afford. At the same time those in power are mounting these exercises, parents are being forced to pay for the books their children use in school because the school system is bankrupt. The number of scholarships available at state colleges in Florida has been reduced to less than half. All of these points should give you pause. Overall, the changes taking place are forcing on us as Americans and individuals a change in culture that places absolute authority in the hands of those with the guns. Now, that should scare you. The solution was and remains a return to the Constitution. And just one tiny bit of bright news right here. The Cheney Bill of Impeachment is now in committee in Congress. So think about that. And note this, HSBC is closing their subprime mortgage division. They claim they have lost too much money. Israeli investments in U.S. bonds are now tanking. Those watching events see that what they call a domino effect beginning in Israel, and they liken that to the beginning of the Great Depression. We've been talking about this for a while now, and the time for action to localize business and your supply of food has arrived. And now some thoughts for the week ahead. It's bad. There's no question of that. The tools we have allowed to be used under cover of providing security have proven to be weapons in the hands of those who can least be trusted to exercise authority with the needed judgment and restraint. Among those weapons, individuals acting through the cover of corporations have been stealing us blind. At the same time, the choices really remain with us, and we can act and still win the future for us and for our children. We can, in effect, take America back from this edge of fascism. Here's what must be done. We've talked about getting off the grids, but what you may not yet see is that every penny you do not spend into the huge sucking machines of the grid corporations by paying your electric bill and buying gasoline is money that in their hands becomes a weapon used against us. And that's why you need to get off the grids. That is also why you need to get serious about organizing locally. And that's why you need to stop looking at politics as something that divides us, but instead see past the barriers built to control us and the truth that will bring us together. Well, there's a lot of happening now that's good, and you need to remember that. Last week, we talked to Louise, who has a prototype that will soon be available that will take your home off the energy grid affordably, because if you've checked into it, you know that most of the alternatives out there cost so much that they're out of the grasp of ordinary people. Providing those will help you rebuild your local economy as well. A couple of weeks ago, we heard from Augustus Denning. Augustus has a plant food that can double the effect of crops you can get from your garden. When you're hungry, that really matters. Many people are working on real solutions, just so you know. Each of these is a solution we need to displace the present system, a system that sends a message of fear and dependence. with one of security, freedom, and unfolding opportunity. Change is hard, frightening, destabilizing, and costly. With change, you can expect uncertainty and problems to be surmounted, but you can surmount them. And you can also look forward to better things. For a moment, let's look at life as it could be. You live in a community where you know most of your neighbors. You know you can rely on them because you had to, and as a community, you survived. You lock your door, but you know that there's very little crime. You're involved in that community and know that you always will be from now on. When you see people, they're not strangers. You know them, and they know you. The energy that powers your home comes from the unit you installed the month after the electric company shut off your service for non-payment 5 years ago. That was tough. You'd lost your job at the factory in town when management cut back on producing parts for the automotive industry. Your children were frightened, and you did not know what to tell them about your own future. Then you read about an electric generation system that you could get for yourself by selling to others. Your dad was a contractor, and you remembered the many times you had to help him on jobs. So you walked out of your front door past your car, its gas gauge now nearly on the red, and you walked over to the local 911 to call the number on the paper in your hand. Your phone service was off by then, too. So you used the last bit of your savings to pay your mortgage this one last one time. On the phone, your world changed, and you found hope. When you got home, you cried. Over the next several years, you kept track of the units installed by you and the three neighbors who all were having the same problem. In 3 years, you installed 2,690 units, and you knew that people all over your city were doing the same. That supported your family and pulled you through, and now everyone is off the electric grid, despite the legislation that big government passed to stop you, claiming unfair competition and whatever. By then, the mortgage fraud and credit card fraud was understood. Action had been taken. But you and the millions of other victims were still poor. That money would never be repaid. Your world is different, but at times you're actually grateful. Now you also grow most of your own food. Your phone is entirely mobile. Your neighbors pulled together and put up a tower that also gives you internet and cable. Those don't cost much, and you pay the bills online through your local and entirely locally controlled credit union. You call the currency a dollar, but this money's backed by gold. And you're on the board at the local credit union and also an investor who makes capital available to local businesses. No interest is paid for the simple checking, but it's free. Your 15-year-old daughter started a business selling her special line of jam and pickled jalapenos a year ago. Now she and her friends are running a storefront that carries only local produce and foods. Your son's studying energy development online and is being paid while he works. Your wife, who you know held you all together, runs the local food exchange. It's a different world and much better than you ever thought possible back then. One of the elements of control that they use is our fear of the unknown. But the future is unknown and has to be, and it still remains up to us to make it whatever we want it to be. We will survive, and so will a vision of America. Now, our guest today is Steve Trevdon. Trevdon worked tirelessly to ban chlorodyne and wrote several books, including The Bug Stops Here, The Best Control, and The Best Control 2, and has developed self-help, professionally guided pest control programs to safely and permanently control and or eliminate pests, roaches, fleas, all wood-destroying organisms, decay, fungi, insects, rodent, and miscellaneous pests. Steve now is the president of PEST, Prevent Environmental Suicide Today, which is an environmental group. Steve also heads the Institute of Pest Management, which has notable toxicologists, doctors, lawyers, and professional people on its board of directors. Steve is all about solving the problem that has been foisted on us today by the petroleum companies who use their stock in trade to produce pesticides and poisons. DDT is one of those, and we will also be talking about what DDT has done to the earth on which we all live. Note that Steve helps people who contact him who need other solutions to the problems of pests. He really is a good guy. Please welcome Steve Trevdon. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I am so glad that you could be with us today to talk about this subject, because it's certainly something that Americans need to think about and do something about. Now, we always start by asking our guests to tell us something about themselves. So could you please tell us something about Steve?
Well, I've been in pest control for 45 years, and I started out using pesticides. And in doing that, I watched a lot of friends die. I lost my uncle. I lost my son. I got so poisoned that I couldn't count change. So after getting chlordane banned, I went through a detoxification program. And within about 4.5 weeks, I did the entire multiplication table. And my IQ is around up to 200 again. And so I can write books and talk and converse and remember things and not have time, just can't add up two quarters of dime, a nickel, and a penny. What happens is that when you are exposed to toxins, you become intoxicated.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't mean drunk. Alcohol is a toxin, but you sober up in the morning. And if you get enough people so intoxicated that no one thinks, there's road rage, and over half Americans are chronically ill. And this is where we're at. We have a country that's dying. We have water that's polluted, air that's polluted, food that's polluted. We have no microorganisms in the soil anymore, so the food is dead. We can't get it to chelate minerals to ourselves, which is what Augie is doing.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And so that what you have is we're all working to try to get back to the thing that when I was a little boy and I walked behind a plow, I could smell dirt when they plowed. And I picked up night crawlers to go fishing and worms to go fishing. Today, when you walk behind a plow, you don't smell anything. The soil basically is like used as hydroponically. It's just simply to hold the plant upright.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give it all the synthetic crap, which doesn't nourish people. And
absolutely,
it makes everybody sicker. So we go over and over trying to find more things. It's like the research in July said that if we use pesticides, we reduce the crop yield a third, which is the exact opposite of why you want to put pesticides down, is to increase the yield.
Mm-hmm.
Now, prior to World War II, all of America was an organic nation, basically. There was some heavy metals being used. But DDT was just coming into play. And basically, everybody had to use their brain rather than poison. And at that point, we lost about 3% of our crop to insects.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have, at this point, using 4 billion pounds of pesticides just in the United States, we lose about 18 to 20% of our crop to insects. Some things are so bad now we can't grow anything. It just won't
breathe.
Work. It's like cotton in Texas. You can't. It's impossible to profitably grow cotton in Texas. So we plant rice in those fields, and they're now contaminated with terrible poisons.
That's really frightening.
Well, the frightening thing is that I when I talk to people in the government, and they start to try to tell me to stop what I'm doing, and they
do that. They try to tell you to stop what you're doing.
Well, they come in and say they're going to arrest me.
Really?
They tell me they don't want me to write or speak anymore, or they're going to stop me somehow. And I said, go ahead. Let me call Oprah first, or Belinda. I would be happy to do that. When they sit down and talk to me then, they admit freely that after totally saturating the earth, and so that every living thing on this earth is contaminated with pesticides, we have never controlled, much less eliminated even one pest. There's like 50 to 60 million insects. We've named a million of them. And only 1,000 are considered pests. When you put down a pesticide, you kill all that beneficial insects. Stuff that we need to survive. Stuff
mm-hmm.
that takes the trees and compost and manure and pollinates. And all the stuff that cleans this earth up. We would be in litter up to our ears if they didn't have insects to clean that up.
Right, because there's a cycle of life, and the insects are part of it. And so
The nature's little garbage cleaners.
That's right.
Ladies, their whole thing is they take out 98% of the weed seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll take out the fleas and the ticks and everything else in your yard. And you have people say, well, I can't have any ants in my head, so they start poisoning it all. And all of a sudden they realize that they've got stuff in there that's terrible. Now, you know, I remember when I was a young boy, and the yards had clover, and the clover actually builds the soil up. And the yard smelled lush, and when you cut the grass, it was a wonderful smell.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody convinced the people that only poor people had clover in their lawn.
Uh-oh.
So they began to use herbicides to kill all the clover. And so that we have taken something that was sustaining life, grass, sustains all life. And when the buffalo were here, before we killed them off, the buffalo found prairie grass that was past the saddle on a horse or pasture belt.
Mm-hmm.
And when they'd come through, the buffalo would come through, and you couldn't see across the herd. It would take 3 or 4 days for the herd to pass. When the herd finally went through, there was nothing but like a plowed field. The first rainstorm, and the grass came back and nourished the earth. We now have grass that we have spent hundreds of millions of dollars perfecting that's so weak we can't walk on it. And we have to feed it and protect it because it can't survive on its own.
That doesn't make any sense.
Nothing makes sense. What you do is you take it back. I went into schools, and I did research on 360 schools, and I said, I'll take out your pest problems inside and outside. And I had some of the schools say to me, well, at least you're not going to use poison so the kids aren't going to get sick. We know you're going to make the pest problem worse. And after a month, they didn't have any pests. And they said, what happened? I said, you don't use pesticides anymore. Pesticides actually increase the pests. Cicero Swamp in New York was a pristine swamp, and they went in and sprayed it. I don't remember exactly if it was 9 years or 12 years, but at the end of the time, they had 15 times as many as mosquitoes as before. And the reason for it is they killed all the predators. Everything is balanced. When I'm in the jungles in Brazil and Costa Rica and around the world, there are no bugs that hit my windshield. But when I'm in the Mississippi Delta or I'm in fields in certain areas of the country, in the Dakotas and Michigan, and we drive along, the bugs just splatter and cover the windows. It's because there's nothing out there to eat them. We've killed the beneficials. But again, of the 50 to 60 million insects, only 1,000 are pests. And of the 1,000, over half are immune to the pesticides. They're resistant to them.
Yeah, and yet there's so few people like you who will tell people what's really going on.
That's why I wrote the book, because even without me being in your backyard, you can get on my book and you can find out how to control any pest for free, basically. And it works better than pesticides, and it's safer than pesticides. It's more effective, more safe, and it's economical.
Mm-hmm.
So that when someone is sitting back and saying, well, why do you do that? I said, because I want people to learn how to play well together.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we're all intoxicated, when we're all under stress, the Psychiatric Association said this last week that one-third of all Americans under severe stress. Severe stress is generally what you get when you're a fighter pilot for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Or if you're a grunt, you go for a couple of days, maybe a month. But it's gone after that. But Americans are under this stress 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And no wonder we're having people shooting somebody and taking things and harming people and kids going in and they don't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
You add that to the fact that we're intoxicated.
Absolutely.
And if you take the pesticide increase from the beginning of 42, when these pesticides were actually made by the IG Farben company, I'm not talking DDT, but the IG Farben company made the first organophosphates, the nerve poisons, the nerve gas. These things, after were used in Auschwitz and elsewhere to kill not only Jews, but people that were incarcerated with the Nazi regime, and they were also used on the war front as nerve gases. Then, after the Nuremberg trials, these chemical formulas were sold to American chemical companies that turned them into insecticides, pesticides.
Now, most people certainly don't know that about the history of insecticides.
No, they think that these are formulated to kill insects. They were formulated to kill people.
That's very scary.
It's very scary because they don't work well on insects.
Because they weren't intended for insects.
No, they weren't used for that. And see, the thing is that if you the whole reason why somebody comes up with a pesticide formula is so they can patent it and then make money on it, and they don't care if it contaminates, they don't care if there's side effects, they don't care if they're non-target species affected. They only have one thing to prove, that it is effective. They don't even have to say it's more effective than what's currently on the market. They just have to say it kills bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the
and of course,
insanity
if you drown
thing
it in,
is,
if you drown the bug in it, it'll kill it.
You can take, it's like one of the things I tell people. They put a particulicide on their child's head.
Mm-hmm.
And a particulicide, if you compare it to a can of Raid, the Raid is 3 or 4 times safer. But if you say to the parent, would you really spray your kid's head with a can of Raid or a can of crawling insect cooter? They say, of course not. I said, but you're soaking the kid's head for maybe 8 hours with something that's 3 or 4 times more toxic than active ingredients.
Now, what's that you're referring to, protecticide?
It's a particulicide. What on the over-the-counter head lice treatments are particulicides. And if you really don't care about the nits, and they don't get rid of the nits, all that stuff that's over-the-counter will kill the lice, but it won't kill the nits.
Mm-hmm.
If you really just want to kill the lice, salt water does it better than all those pesticides.
Really?
Because the lice are already resistant to all that crap.
But, of course, they can't make money selling that.
No, there's no money in salt.
So what you're saying is that they, after the wars, what they looked at is ways they had created this product, so they were looking at ways they could continue to make money with the product, no matter what impact it had on the people.
Even if it kills people.
But if it burnishes the bottom line, it's a good thing.
It's all about money. There's a thing that I tell people. What's not done for love is done for money. And if you look at somebody and they start telling you something, and they're telling you to watch out, and they're doing this because they're trying to protect you, and someone says, don't listen to them, you got a better idea here, but you got to pay me some money, trust the one that's not looking to get something from you.
Yeah.
It's like you and I have talked in the past, and I tell you that aspartame will kill anything dumb enough to drink it or eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I use it to kill mice. In my chapter 11, it talks about who brought that into this country. It was a politician named Rumsfeld. And it will kill anything. Rumsfeld.
Oh, yeah. Rumsfeld, okay.
The same guy that was almost arrested and fled for his life from Germany and from France because he feared being taken.
Yes. I'm sure he did.
We have an embarrassment. I mean, when I talk to people in other countries, they say, are you really an American? And I say, yes. He said, well, you don't act like an American. I said, how does an American act? Well, they want to know what you want. I said, I don't want anything. But Americans come to other countries and they want something. And they take things. And we have to learn to play well together. This is the whole reason why he gave away the book.
Mm-hmm.
If the people realize that they won't get so angry with their children, they won't feel such stress, and they won't feel so sick, and they won't have to spend thousands of dollars for pest control that doesn't work. I've been in homes so contaminated with chlordane they had to be taken down, tore down, and put in a toxic landfill, and the termites were still eating the home.
Made it yummier, huh?
It doesn't kill them. And when Velsicol came after me and said, you have to say it kills things, Stephen, I said, yes, it does. And I drew a man, and I said, pesticides kill even when used as directed. And I was referring to men dying, because that's what killed my son
mm-hmm.
and my uncle. And I can't prove it, because there is no way that I can go take another uncle and another son and spray them with pesticides and see if they die.
Mm-hmm. And then
so that's where they have us. They say, well, prove it. You can't prove it. So they just get away with it. And they don't even... See, the funny thing is they don't test a pesticide for all of the ingredients. They never test all of the ingredients. The bulk of the pesticide, 98% of the pesticide, is inert. And that sounds like it doesn't do anything. It sounds like air and corn cob bits and little clay maybe. But some of the inerts are banned pesticides. Dicofol had DDT as an inert.
Mm-hmm. As an inert.
Yeah, carbon tetrachloride.
Oh, my God.
Some of the stuff, some of the inerts have a half-life of 880 years. Half-life.
Wow, they might as well be nuclear.
Yes. It's insane. That's why every place on Earth that you go to now, even where they never sprayed pesticides, like the Inuit Indians in Canada, and the polar bears, have become, you know, have both sexes, are contaminated with pesticides. There isn't a living thing that doesn't have pesticides in it. And have we controlled any pests? No. But accidentally, man accidentally kills 50 to 60 million, I mean, 25 to 100,000 species, accidentally, every year, a plant, animal, insect. They die because of a footprint. We're here. We're encroaching on them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to live with them. But they never have controlled any pests. Never.
And
so when somebody says, I'm going to spray your roaches every week, every month, every year, tell them, forget it. You couldn't do it the first time, don't do it the second time.
It sounds like everything you're saying about the choices that are being made aren't really being made by the people, are being made by a very small group of corporations who have simply a product that they want to get rid of.
Well, there was one of the farmers that I talked to, I don't even remember, but he had bought some fertilizer. And what he had spread the fertilizer on his field, he found out his fields were so contaminated he couldn't grow crops because the fertilizer contained toxic waste.
Really?
And there's no law that says you can't put toxic waste in fertilizer.
Well, he didn't even have a potential lawsuit there?
Nope.
That's amazing.
Oh, if you start studying the first part of my book, it's Silent Spring Revisited.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of that is that my home and my office have both burned down accidentally. People don't want me to say what I'm telling you. But there's always a simple answer to everything. If you got some crawling insect you don't want to be crawling around, you put a piece of duct tape, sticky side up, hold it in place with masking tape, you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many simple things. You can use heat, you can use cold, you can use fans. If you leave a fan on 24/7, you won't have roaches in a month.
Really? Why, they don't like it?
Well, first of all, it desiccates them.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And if you ever put a toad, a great big toad, in a box with a roach, and you could slow down the tongue, you could see as the tongue comes from the toad to get the roach steps aside. Just that little breeze steps them aside.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you put on a fan in a room, the roaches think it's the greatest, biggest toad in the world after them.
And so they get out.
Right. So you hang clothes on a line because wind dries them. You can also kill all the roaches in your apartment or your home or your office or your restaurant by simply going in 1 hour after dark, turning on a red light, and vacuuming up the cockroaches that you see.
That's amazing, because here people spend all of this money and it smells bad and it's bad for you, and they can just do it this way, and you put it out there, and it's for free.
It's 90% the first week, 6% the week after, and 4% after that. That's very simple stuff. Everything that's in that book at thebestcontrol2.com
mm-hmm.
is free. And it's a very simple thing. It's like people ask me what I charge to come talk, and I said nothing. And they said, well, where do you make your money? And I said, there are many ways to make money besides sharing with neighbors and friends.
Mm-hmm.
I have a dream for this country. I want we the people to take over again, so that we the people once again control our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And all this other crap and all this corruption and people that steal money and trillions of... We're almost $10 trillion in debt for this crap.
I know.
And there's no way to pay it off. There isn't any way to pay it off. And, you know, the last week here in Michigan, gas went up 23 cents a gallon. 23 cents. And one of the friends of mine called me up and he said, and he was almost crying. He had bought fuel oil, got 145 gallons of fuel oil.
Mm-hmm.
and it cost him $480 some dollars. He said, "Steve, that's going to last me 6 weeks. It's going to cost me $100 a week to heat my home, and I don't have it." My daughter, who teaches special ed, she's farther north in Michigan than I am,
mm-hmm.
has several families that go through the whole winter without heat. Without heat, they haven't got any water. So how do they go to the bathroom, wash their hands, whatever, do the dishes? How do they do that? They don't.
And that's something, of course, that the energy companies could care less about.
They don't care. They don't care. It's all about money. If you think about it, would you send your child to war, a preemptive war, to make money?
Well, I certainly wouldn't.
No, and there aren't many politicians that got any kids over there.
That's true, and they know exactly what they're doing, and that's very clear.
So, I mean, if you have something that's that important, I'd like to see the first people in the front lines, the politicians' children.
That would never happen.
I know that won't happen. But I'm saying, here you have, you got all this stuff, and you have to see the nation is now going to organic food. And if they go to organic food, it's not going to be a drop in food. It's going to be an increase in food, not only because of argument, because of the very fact pesticides don't increase yield. They decrease it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the simplest things that you can do are the most effective.
Absolutely.
And that's what you got to get back to simple.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to get back to simple.
Get back to community.
Yep. And we the people.
We the people, doing it ourselves and doing it for our communities. It's one of the things that we absolutely have to have. And it's bizarre when you take a look at this and you see the same pattern produced over and over and over again, so that what they're doing is, you know, using our trust to abuse it so that they can make money.
Well, you know, it's always kind of interesting when somebody said to me, well, why would they do that? Why would somebody in corporate America or a politician create a world that's so toxic that no one can live in there? And I said, you have to look back at the French king that was just before the revolution. And he said, après moi, la déluge. He was told that the French people were getting very angry from being starved to death while these people lived these lives of gods and goddesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so his French words, après moi la déluge, after me the flood.
So
he didn't care that his grandchildren and children and nephews and nieces and uncles and aunts were going to be destroyed as long as he had a good life. Anyway, that's the thing to me, that when you look at that, you understand that, it seems to me that there are snake people.
That's,
I don't know how else to describe them, but they have no soul.
So they're simply people to whom their only concern is their own pleasure for their own life, and everything else can just go hang.
Yeah. And I don't know how we got so many people running our country like that.
Well, you know,
I'm so glad to hear Ron Paul and some of these other guys start talking. Kucinich, you know, asked for Cheney's resignation, and I...
Oh, you know, that wasn't wonderful?
Look, I sent out a thing with Cheney in 1994. He gave a speech where he said, if we go into Baghdad, he said we shouldn't go into Baghdad because we'll be in a quagmire. You're going to create a civil war. The whole country will fragment, and the whole Middle East is going to explode.
Mm-hmm.
He said we can't go in to Baghdad. And he's the same man that's making all this and saying let's go in not only to Iraq and Baghdad and Iran. He's talking about going to Iran now, but Afghanistan. I don't know if you know this, but in Afghanistan, the Taliban has taken over 3 complete territories already.
Yes.
We're losing.
Yes.
They can't win a war like that. And that's the same thing. I studied war. And when I studied war, I realized that the use of pesticides was a no-win situation, because in war, you're supposed to have a sword and a shield. And the sword is to strike down the enemy, the shield is to protect you.
Right.
And when you use pesticides, you have a sword. But you don't have a shield, so all the farmers are getting all these diseases. And all the people that are exposed are getting all these diseases. And the pests are not killed because we're killing our allies. We have collateral damage. It's insane. You can't fight a war like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that what I've done, instead of using one tool, I tell people, you want to build a house, I'll let you have one kind of tool, all the hammers, all the screwdrivers, all the pliers. Say, well, I can't do that. I've got to have all the tools. But pest control right now has been only one tool, pesticides. When pesticides don't work, they use pesticides. When that doesn't work, they use pesticides. When that doesn't work, they use pesticides. And when that doesn't work, they go back and use DDT.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work in the first place.
Well, yes, but it puts money in somebody's pocket, and therefore it's a solution to their problem, which is, you know, keeping their pockets full.
But when people get sick from the pesticides, the companies that make the pesticides make medicines to heal them.
Well, yes, and they don't heal them, of course.
They don't heal them. They make them sicker.
Let me ask you a question, because you talked about the detoxification protocol that you went through to heal yourself.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of this process, what was that?
I went through a process. It was a lady doctor named Megan Shields in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
to whom I owe my life. And she had spun off from L. Ron Hubbard's detox system. I'm not talking his theology, I'm talking his methodology.
Right.
And what they had done is they found out that when the Romans had someone that was dying and he still hadn't worked his time in lead mines, they put him in a box and they sweat him. And the Swedes, the Finns have it too. With the Finns, the word for sauna in Finnish is the same as hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And they say if the sauna can't cure you, nothing will. And so what it is that your body detoxes every time it goes number one, number two. Every time it breathes out and every time it sweats. We no longer sweat in this country.
That's true.
So what you have to do is start sweating. So I went in the sauna, and as I went through there, all the stuff was falling out of me. I'd fall on the floor. My family was very concerned. And when I got about 4.5 weeks, all of a sudden I realized I could do the entire multiplication table. And I was I went through inside to outside or outside to inside. It was like going into just a different realm. And I'm hollering, Baruch Hashem Adonai,
mm-hmm.
which in Hebrew means praise the name of the Lord. And I said, he's restored my soul. And I then was no longer just a victim. I had become someone who had recovered. And I was an environmentalist because I was a victim. But now I could fight. And I made up my mind then that I would then try to find ways, and I've come up with 2,800 ways, to remove pests without using pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
And who I fight are not the people. The people would like to use what I'm doing. The people, I've never found anyone say, Stephen, you know, the stuff that you told me to do didn't work. Because there's so many, I give them 50, 60 different ways to get rid of roaches and ants and rats and whatever. And it's the corporations that fight me. It's the regulator people. It's the Department of Agriculture that won't let me. In California, I've been writing them for a long time. It's against the law to use anything but a pesticide to control pests or to protect crops. Even though they know it's contaminated all of California. Over 25% of the pesticides used in the United States are used in California.
Wow.
And so that when I get through that tunnel, I really, when I'm driving, especially in the valley, I can't drive. I have to have somebody drive for me because I just nod off.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. I wrote the governor because he said he was interested, and he just blew it off. And so that what you have is a lot of people have lip service to the environment, but they don't want to be involved because they don't want to take on these people who pad their political wallet.
Right. But you've
nothing.
Had a lot of success, though, haven't you?
I have success all over. But I'm doing it for free.
I know. And that's
so there's no money in it. I can't give Arnold money. And I'm not doing this for money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want money for this. It's not what I did it for.
Well, you're doing it for the right reasons. You're doing it because you care about people.
That's all. And I want us to come back because it's so much better when we have neighbors again that care about one another and that are not sick. sick.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get well. It's like the chapter 40 I wrote in my book. It tells people how to cure cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of doctors that are on my board. Said, Stephen, you know what you're doing when you write this? I said, yes. He said, I thank you that you wrote it, but I would never dare do it because they would lose their license.
Right. And that happens to people all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They tell the truth and they lose their license.
And one of
That's
the,
how they hold on to them.
Yeah, well, the doctor wrote me and called up my office and said, who wrote this? And she was on my board. She didn't realize who she was talking to. She talked to my wife. And she said, Doris, Steve wrote that. She said, my God, that's good. But I tell you how to get rid of kidney stones and how to do all kinds of things to get healed naturally. Because all of this is, we need to function in a unit like a family. And that's really what it's all about. When you are in a home with a family, you don't have my refrigerator. It's our refrigerator.
Right.
It's our home. And so that we need our country. And they've done a great job at making us get mad at people and say, well, no, you can't like those people. Those people are homosexual people. You can't like those people. They're abortionists. You can't like those people. They're different than you. You don't like those Muslims, do you? They're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And we can kill them all, and they'll be all right because we're doing it the work of God.
Well, yes, but you actually personally believe that that is the way that we should relate to each other because we're really all one.
We are one.
Absolutely.
We all bleed the same.
Mm-hmm.
We all suffer the same. And when I look at this country, I weep. Because I can't believe in 7 years we've gone to the last remaining superpower to a debtor nation. I just can't see.
It's incredible. It really
is. It's incredible, the loss. And, you know, in the middle of all this, you just keep on saying to people, look, one of the things you don't have to pay for is pest control. That I give you for free.
Amen.
And you don't really need much to heal yourself except some very simple things. And it's all there for free.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do at this point in time is try to tell people, whether you're Augie or I or whoever, try a different way. What we've done, if we keep doing what was a failure in the past, we're going to doom ourselves to failure.
Amen.
We have to start something new. And it's really not new because everything that I'm telling people, it's been known for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in... how much time we got left?
You have 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
But, you know, you're so wonderful. I'm so glad you've been with us today because you are just fantastic.
I never answered your question, what's in a pesticide? I'll have to do that sometime else.
We will have to do that. And I'm going to be writing another article. It's going to include some expose things on the DDT that I have not yet told you about.
Okay.
But why don't we close it for now,
yep.
And I'm going to ask you just right now to come back after I've written another article in a couple of weeks, and we're going to talk about not just this and what you're doing and what Augie's doing, but about some of the other things that, you know, that will actually return the earth to the condition that we were meant to keep it in and that God wanted us to keep it in.
Amen.
Amen. You take care. Thank you so much for being with us today.
You're more than welcome.
Okay. God bless.
God bless.
And that's our show for today, Friday, November 9th, 2007. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And once you're free, you're also free to be in touch with God and with the sacred within that takes you there. On this show, as we do with all our shows, we end by reading the section of the Declaration of Independence that is and will always be America's mission statement. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evidences a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. This is Melinda Pillsbury Foster coming to you from BBS Radio. God bless the journey that eventually brings us to freedom. And may God be with you every step of the way. Good night.